Hey, it's Kanu with Real Love, Real Stories TV and Podcast. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Today, my guest is Francesca Anastasi. She is based in Vancouver, BC, Canada. She's the founder of the Shimmy Mob, which is a belly dance flash mob held every year in support of victims of abuse. She's also a business consultant whose mission is to inspire women. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how to trust and love again after being hurt. Here's a question for you. Have you ever been in a relationship where trust was broken? How did you learn to trust again? Let's hear Francesca's story. Welcome, Francesca, to Real Love, Real Stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. I know that right now you're married, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and today, it's kind of a heavy-ish topic, but it's one that we need to talk about. So we're talking about how to trust again after being heartbroken, after, you know, whatever love, sometimes those, you know, adversities that love brings our way. So maybe to start off with a little bit, can you share, you know, what has your experience been like in terms of trust and how that sometimes can be damaged?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was married previously. This is my third marriage. So you would think I actually do have a lot of experience. And yes, heartbroken in the ways that you know, you have certain expectations when you get into a relationship and you think it's going to be, and they lived happily ever after, and then things don't go the way you thought they would, for different reasons. And you find yourself being hurt. My first marriage was 14 years. For 14 years, my second one was for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And both were devastating in the end, you know, the divorces. And it was very, very difficult to even consider wanting to be in a relationship. After that, I was so done. I had been hurt deeply. And I remember being so, as people say, broken. I don't really like to use the word broken because I don't believe we break. I believe we're resilient. We can be bent. We can be pushed down. Right. But I don't think we actually ever are broken. But that's how it felt, though. It felt like I was in a million pieces. I felt like I was shattered. And there was no way I could ever trust again. And I remember going to counseling because it totally messed me up. Right. I had lost complete trust in being in a relationship. How can I ever trust again? Mm-hmm. And I remember my counselor saying to me, I said, I'm done. I don't want anyone in my, like, I'm so done. I don't need a man. I can just do it by myself, which I think that was key number one.
So just you were done with love.
Like I was done in being in a relationship and feeling like I was just, you know, either the trophy or just there to be for the financial support and other things that were going on in the background that I was not aware of. There were a lot of things.
Right.
And, so I felt used, really. And I have to say, both marriages, I felt used. Mm. And it was just like, I don't need this. This is too painful. Like, I was so done. And like I was saying, I was talking to my counselor, and she said to me, why would you deny yourself the chance of happiness if the right person comes along? Mm. And I said to her, how do I know I am not going to be hurt again? How in the world am I going to know? Like I can't take it anymore. I cannot mentally take any more of this. And she said, you look for the flags. You look for the red flags. And when you see a red flag, mm-hmm. you address it. And then if there's another red flag, you address that too. Right. And you start seeing a pattern. And when you start seeing a pattern, that's when you say, enough if the pattern is not in the direction, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And you know, you kind of go cautiously and you really approach a relationship from a completely different angle mm-hmm. without being, why'd you say that? Why'd you do that? Like, you still have to be. But it's really about paying attention. And I think the other part is, it's paying attention, addressing the issue. If you see anything that you kind of start questioning, you know, you have any questions about. Mm-hmm. And also, I think the most important one, I think, is that not having to need to be in a relationship.
You not having the need to be in,
to
a,
be in a relationship. I think that is key. Right. I think, yeah, because if you don't, it's easy to kind of end it, right? Because, right. yes, it will still be a little painful, but it'd be easy to say, I don't need this. So you don't invest so much into it that then your trust is broken, because then you can see, you treat your relationship differently. I think what it boils down to, based on my experience, I've been now with my husband for 6 years, and today is but on the first day, and we literally, like, we look at each other and we go, we don't know what happened, but this is almost like the dream relationship.
Oh, nice.
We wake up in the middle of the night, we're holding hands. You know, it's that kind of relationship. Like, every day is a fun day. Every day, we've never had an argument, even though we may have different points of views. Right. And I think the recipe, if you will, I think the ingredients, because I've been really looking at it. I'm like, after, you know, two failed marriages, after having had other relationships that were just complete disasters and very hurtful, mm-hmm. what are the ingredients? What is it that makes it work, right? Mm-hmm. And it's that deep respect that we have for each other, that no matter what the other person does that we may not necessarily agree with, mm-hmm. there's so much respect that it overlooks anything else.
Nice.
And we have that at a mutual, in a mutual way, at the same level, I think. And that's what I think is the basis of it. So I think it starts with the respect. You see if the other person respects you all the time and you do the same in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. There is no going wrong. I think the foundation of love really starts with respect. The moment there's no respect, there's no love.
What happened in the other relationships? Because you said this is your third marriage. Are you comfortable sharing, like, why was that trust broken in those two?
I was only 21 okay. When I got married. Actually, I don't even think I was 21 yet. And I think I personally married for the wrong reasons mm-hmm. to start with. I wanted to feel like someone cared for me, that actually cared about me. Oh. And I think that's the wrong premise to get into a relationship in the first place. So in my case, I was very needy. I wanted to feel like someone, I didn't feel like I was worthy of love. So if somebody showed me that they were interested enough in me to get married, that, you know, then I was worth something. And I wanted that affection. And, you know, my ideal relationship at the time was, you know, a husband comes home, hugs you, kisses you, cuddles you. And he wasn't like that at all. Mm. He was very distant. Mm-hmm. He had his own hobbies. He had his own way of, he had his own things. And, you know, so it was, we were very different. Let's put it that way. We were very, very different. So I felt that was, you know, it wasn't the kind of relationship I wanted. I wanted the affection, and I didn't feel like I was getting that from.
Right.
So that I felt betrayed, because when you marry someone and they tell you they love you, mm-hmm. you expect to have more affection, and I didn't feel I was getting that.
Right.
So that was with the first one. The second one, he had addiction problems, which, you know, kind of came to the surface after the marriage. And that was big break of trust for me, because he told me he didn't have those issues, and then he did.
Right.
And it was just on and on. It was just like a whole list of 10 years of...
So these were two very difficult sort of relationships, and, you know, So how do you then overcome the stress to get into this beautiful relationship that you have now that is, you know, respect being the foundation of that relationship where, you know, you talked about even you wake up in the middle of the night and you're holding hands. And I think that's just so beautiful. But how do you get to that point after trust has been broken?
I think it has to be equal. And it was not easy. It was not an easy, all of a sudden, I trust this person. I was terrified. When he asked me to marry him, I said, no, no, is it not going to happen? No, been down that road before, not doing this again.
Yeah.
And he kept telling me, so I said, okay, we'll live together, but we won't get married. And he kept saying, let's just make it legal. It's going to be fine. And I'm like, no, how do I know you're not going to turn? Right now it's wonderful, but how do I know that this is not going to be another one, another relationship that as soon as we get married, things are going to change?
Yeah.
How do I know? And I think part of the reason that I ended up saying yes eventually is because I had met him a long time before. He was a reconnection. So it wasn't a brand new person that I just met off the street.
Okay.
With someone that I had known from previous years through a business course that I was taking.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the same class. We did homework together back then, only at business relationship. And that's all it was. And he had always been very kind. And that was the one thing I remembered about him. And when we reconnected, he was always so kind.
Nice.
He wasn't just kind to me. Like my counselor had said, pay attention to the flag. So I was looking for any sign that would tell me run the opposite way.
Right.
Okay. So I was actually looking for, give me a sign so I go. So I wasn't looking for the sign to stay. I was looking for the sign to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I could not find any. And then anyone that knew him that would meet me would say, oh, he's such a kind person, he's such a nice person. I'm like,
you're like, where's this red flag? I need it.
Yeah, right. And I was like, okay, who are his friends? That was another thing I wanted to, you know, where are your friends? Do you have any friends? That was the other thing, because you get to know people around their friends, how they treat people around them, right? And how they talk about other people. And he was always kind about everyone. So that was the foundation for me, just seeing how kind he was with everyone and with me. And at the nut of it, it's genuine. It was not fake kindness.
Yeah.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
You could totally tell that it was not made up kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, and slowly, slowly, I kind of started like, okay. But it was terrifying. Like, I'm not going to say, okay, then I trusted him and I married him. If you saw me the day we got married, I looked like I had Parkinson's disease from how hard I was shaking.
Oh, no. What was going on?
I was terrified. I was still scared, even though there had been no flags. I really cared for him and I loved him and I respected him, and he had not done anything
right
to give me any reason to be afraid. I was terrified. I was so scared.
Yeah.
But you know what? My thought was, I've done it twice before. I know where the door is. I know how to exit. So at that point, that was my reasoning. I'm like, I know how to exit this time. I know how to exit quick. I'm not going to let it be 14 years. I'm not going to let it be 10 years. If I see something happen, I exit.
I'm out. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, I kind of had to give myself the courage to go through with it and trust that what I was seeing was real.
Yeah.
And that it would last.
So did he know that this is what you were going through?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh yes. He knew all my fears.
Okay.
I was going through nightmares. He knew it all. He knew it all. Yeah. And he was there to take care of me, and it was awesome.
Now you said you're 6 years into your marriage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, and so, we've been 6 years together. We've been married 4.5 years.
Oh, 4.5 years. Okay.
But we've been together for 6 years. So we've been together every day for the past 6 years.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So for somebody out there who, you know, whether he or she, their heart has been broken and they want to get to a point to where they can trust again and open themselves to love, or maybe they're already in a relationship and they still have the blockage, kind of like what you were going through. What would be some tips and, you know, advice that you can give that person who's listening, who might be going through what you were going through before?
I think my biggest tip would be take it slow.
Okay.
Take it slow, you know, really get to know the person mm-hmm. under different circumstances and around people. How does a person react in traffic? How does the person react if the food at a restaurant arrives late? How does a person react if somebody's rude? Like, all of those little things will tell you a lot about a person.
That is a good point. You're stuck in traffic with someone and they have road rage.
Right. Whether they have road rage or they just curse somebody off, if they're going to do that with a stranger, they're going to do that with you when they get very familiar with you.
That is a good point. Right?
So you will see a lot about a person under different circumstances and getting to know their friends and what they're like around their friends. And you can get to, or their family, if they got family around as well, just to see how they interact with people that they've known for a long time. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that's very important. So taking it slow, really getting to know the person. Don't rush it. Don't, you know, like, I would say any relationship where the other person wants to, oh, this is love, let's seal the deal right away, run. Run.
You mean like when they propose early?
When they want to get married right away or move in right away, like where everything is too quick. Uh-huh. I think it's a sign that it's going too fast and you don't have enough time to really get to know the other person. It's better to take it slow, no matter how your hormones are going and the whole chemistry is going on, but to give it that time. I think that's probably the biggest tip I can give. And it's the hardest one to follow, because when you feel like you're head over heels at first and all you can do is think about the person and you can't wait for the text, and take it slow.
Yeah.
It's slow. What's the rush? Okay. In the end, what is the rush? Why rush into something that could turn out to be a complete disaster? Why not take the time for something that could be potentially wonderful?
Right.
Right. So those would be my tips.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. But, you know, when you're smitten and, you know, I think sometimes that kind of clouds your judgment, right?
Yes, it does. Of course it does. You are smitten, but don't commit to anything. That's all I'm saying. You can stay smitten. And you can still hang out with the person. I'm not saying not to do that.
Right.
Just saying not to commit to anything too quick, too soon. Like moving in together quickly or getting married too quickly. Like, really get to know the person first in all the different aspects, as many aspects as possible. Like I said earlier, see how do they react? What are they like around people? You know, are they going to pick a fight just to prove that they are, you know, to show that they're protecting you, so they're going to pick a fight? Are they that kind of person? Do you want to be around that kind of person? Or does that make you feel protected? I don't know. You know, like, you have to kind of, you decide for yourself the kind of person you want. And I think then that's easier to trust in that direction, in that way.
Sometimes we see these red flags, right, that we're, you know, because they don't all happen at the same time. You're like, oh, you know, I would have been mad too. Maybe he was hungry, or maybe he was this, and then another thing happened, or maybe traffic was just so horrible and this person did cut him off, you know, but there are little nuggets of like, oh, these red flags along the way. And you know, when we think we're in love, we tend to overlook all those. And then, like you say, that feeling subsides and then boom, they just explode to you as the partner. And then it just becomes this really horrible relationship. And sometimes it's even too late then, right? Because you feel like it's too late, you're married, and maybe you have had a kid, or maybe you're pregnant, and, you know, then you kind of feel stuck.
And that's too common of a story.
Oh yeah, sadly.
Right. Sadly. So like most marriages are like that. Most marriages are like, okay, I'm in a marriage that I'm not happy in.
Yeah.
Right. And why did that happen? I think that when you are with the right person and there is that mutual respect, because it really boils, it goes back down to that. When you respect the other person, you will never do anything to hurt them. Number one, love doesn't hurt. End of story.
It should not.
If it does, it's not love.
Yeah.
If it hurts, it's not love. Yeah. So, like the expression, I love you so much, it hurts. No.
It does not hurt.
It should not hurt. Because if it's hurting, there's something wrong there. There's something imbalanced.
So how long did that go on before, from the time he proposed and said, let's get married, to the time
a year? It was almost a year and a half.
Yeah, he was
because very, he actually proposed. He proposed right away, fairly quickly, and I'm like, no, no. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love
but
that.
So, remember though that I had known him from before. Though he wasn't someone I had just
right, missed. Right.
So yeah. there was an established. We did know each other, even though it was not in a romantic level. We did have a certain level of trust already established from before. So
yeah, and I think you mentioned that you already knew that he was very respectful, I think is the yes. word you used, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you guys do now to keep your marriage fire burning?
You know what? It's actually effortless.
I love that.
And it really, sometimes we look at each other when we hear people say marriage takes work, because we look at each other and we go, well, then that's the wrong marriage.
Right.
Why should it take work? It does not take work. It's just a natural thing. We do things for each other just naturally. Like he'll bring me a coffee or I'll bring him something. Like it's just second, like it's just automatic. We don't think of what do I have to do so that my marriage is going to work? Do I have to go up to him and kiss him 30 times so that our marriage is going to, we don't do any of that. It's just who we are. We just do things for each other constantly. We go for walks together. Like if I want to go for a walk just because I need the exercise, I'll say, I'm going for a walk. You want to come? Sure, I'll come with you. That kind of thing. So it's not, I can't give a tip on how to make your marriage better, how to work on it, because we're not working on it. It's just natural for us.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I mean,
we hug a lot, but that's spontaneous. It's not because, you know, it's just a spontaneous, I think we probably hug 20 times a day, if not more, and it's spontaneous.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. If it's, you know, when I ask the question of what do you do to work on it, you know, and maybe that kind of denotes a feeling of like something is broken. But, you know, like you just shared right now, you hug a lot. That's, you know, that's how you guys sort of stay on that track of keeping the fire burning. And I love that you're saying it's effortless, you know, because that's when you know it's the right thing.
Yeah, and we want that for everybody else. Yeah. We don't know. Sometimes we wonder, it's like, is it because we've had a lot of experience? We've been hurt. He's been hurt too. So is it because of that? The willingness to both trust again, maybe? There's also that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that gives me hope for sure.
There is hope. There is hope.
I do want to one day say that, you know, I am with somebody and it's effortless. Because, oh my God, there's just a feeling of freeness to that, actually, yes. Me saying that out loud.
Yes.
You know, something that's effortless, you know, you don't have to put a whole lot of work and when you're working on it too hard, it's not the right thing.
It should not be any work at all.
This week's episode is brought to you by Real Love, Real Stories Shopify store. Enter episode 10. That's the word episode and then 10 to get your 10% discount. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Do you have a love story or do you know somebody with a love story? If so, shoot me an email, kanukayi@gmail.com. Please go to my YouTube channel, Real Love, Real Stories Podcast, and subscribe. And also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Real Love, Real Stories. Till next time.